First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Once again to the Ed Springston Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringston.com, where you can check out your latest favorite version and podcast of this show, or you can find out anything else we've got going on, what news we're following, things like that. And while you're at LouisvillePolitics.com, don't forget to join our RSS feed. We can have the show delivered straight to you. And make sure you join our email newsletter where you can get your weekly updates of everything significant that's been happening in the last week. Yes, we have a lot of options for you. For you guys who are new to the show, remember the call-in numbers are 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. For you guys that are already in the listening queue, we appreciate having you as always. Just make sure you hit the number one on your dial pad so we know that you want to be heard on air. And for everybody else, if you feel like it, jump on in, jump into live chat. You can sign in with your Facebook or your Twitter feed and be heard there as well. I tell you, there's always so much going on, but today is a very important day right here in Kentucky. Yes, it is. It's our primary election day, so we're going to be trying to give results as we go along throughout the show. They have not updated at the Jefferson County Clerk's office in about 20 minutes, which is kind of surprising. But right now, some of the races we're watching, of course, is the U.S. Senate race, the Republican primary between Mitch McConnell and Matt Bevin are the two top vote getters. And Mitch McConnell right now is leading by about 34 percentage points. It's still early, of course. There's only about 14% reporting in that race. But, you know, he's got 65% to 31%. Get into some of the other races, the 20th Senate representative. You're looking at about 78% for Hornback right now versus his opponent, 21, Tony McCurdy. The races that we're really paying attention to, this looks like it's going to tighten up and be a race that we thought it would be. We've been talking about the last couple of shows, and that's the 32nd Legislative District, the state rep for the 32nd District between Tea Party favorite Phil Moffitt and Shelley May. And that looks like it's about a 7-point difference at this point. We're going to be paying real close attention to that going forward. And in the Metro Council 7th District, the Republican primary, looks like Angela Leet has a very comfortable lead so far on Sean Sloan. But again, folks, these are early numbers, so we don't want to do anything to make you believe that anything is over. You've only got about 8 to 15% reporting in most cases. You know, going forward, the 9th District is one we're really, really watching closely. And it looks like at this point, with about 14% reporting, the two top vote getters are the only ones with double digits are Bill Hollander and Chris Hartley. Those are the only ones with double digits at this time in that race. And, you know, that that race is just so hard because there's like 100 people in it. I think there's 13 total running in that primary. But it is very, very interesting. I will tell you right now, 15th Metro Council Democratic District, looks like Marianne Butler's probably going to run away with that one. The same with the 21st District, Dan Johnson looks like he's going to be running away with that one. Some of the family court divisions, one primarily I'm really watching is the Circuit Judge and Family Court Division 8, and right now it looks like D. McDonald has a pretty comfortable lead, but again, all of these are early so far. The county attorney's race, depending on who you are, what you're looking for in this race, I tell you, this race is one that we've really covered. We actually had Karen Faulkner, one of the candidates in the Jefferson County attorney's race, on air last night. And this so far looks, it's about a 9-point race at this point, 54% for O'Connell and a little over 45% for Karen Faulkner. So Karen Faulkner is definitely, considering this is a Democratic primary, and Michael Connell is a not well-liked incumbent county attorney, Karen Faulkner is definitely having a very good showing here. So we'll see how that works out later. But, you know, like I said, they're a little slow on the results right now, so I'm not sure why, but I guess we will find out why in the near future. But going forward, there are all kinds of things to talk about, as always, and one of the best things to talk about for me is horse racing. Yes, for all you guys who are scared to death, the California Chrome would not be running in the Belmont going for the Triple Crown. Relax, take a pill. California Chrome, the winner of the Preakness and the Churchill Downs Kentucky Derby, has just received a ruling that California Chrome can use nasal strips when he runs into Belmont here, I guess, a week from Saturday. There was some concern about that because California Chrome has been using breathing strips in his last six races, all of which he has won. Make of that what you will. But Belmont Park stewards cleared California Chrome Monday to use the same strips he's been wearing, and so he's good to go. So we might have a Triple Crown winner. At least we're going to have the horses run the first two be in it. Teddy Bridgewater, University of Louisville, former quarterback, drafted by the Minnesota Vikings. He has reached a deal with Minnesota, according to the St. Paul Pioneer Press. It's a 4-year deal. It's worth about $6.85 million. There's a $3.3 million signing bonus, and there is a fifth-year option on the contract. You know, it's interesting because Teddy Bridgewater at one time was, you know, slated to be the number one pick. Everybody expected it. And then for some reason or another, things happened during the off season and stuff like that. And the bottom line was he just missed it. So, you know, we're not sure exactly what's going to go on there. But he is signed, sealed, and delivered to Minnesota. Hopefully, he will be able to get a chance to play right away. We'll know more about that later as things go along. But it's going to be very interesting to see how it works. And who knows? Who knows? We'll find out. Okay, let's see here. Let's see if we can get a better update for you. Let's see. On the elections, going straight to the Kentucky State Board of Elections and bypassing the Jefferson County Clerk's Office, who seems to be really, really slow. It looks like Mitch McConnell is now leading 57.4 to 38.6 on Matt Bevin, with the rest really insignificant. Of course, Allison Lundigan Grimes is running away with about 80% of the Democratic primary vote. It looks like Ray Pierce, wow, interesting. Ray Pierce has got 19% of the vote. Of course, John Yarmuth has 80% in his race, but it is very, very fascinating. So he is getting a lot of votes. A lot of people didn't expect him to get any as an outsider, but that says a lot about Ray for anybody that knows Ray Pierce. So that's an interesting sidebar there, if you will. In the meantime, we've got a lot of things we can do. We could talk about. I kind of want to get into some other situations. We're not really a sports show. One of the biggest problems in elections for me is low voter turnout. And it's not looking like this year is going to be any different. And I really hate to say that because there are so many things that we should be doing that we're not. You know, as an electorate, we continue griping about the things that we're not getting from our elected leaders, but we're not doing one thing to make it happen. So, you know, that's a big concern for me, and it doesn't look like this election is going to be any different. For some reason, it's just not seeming to happen that way. The voter turnout on this so far is a very dismal percentage. I would anticipate that it's probably going to be as low as 10%. You know, and that should really be a problem and insulting. It really should. But moving forward, yes, moving forward, looks like the county is still behind on their election projections. So why, I have no idea, but I guess we will find out soon enough. Okay, moving on. We have a lot of news right now. This is why elections are important. We have a lot of news right now about some major concerns around the country with the elections and with the, you know, you not only have a voter turnout problem, but part of the problem is the ones who do show up, you don't know if they're legitimate or not. We already have a few cases here in Kentucky, right here in Louisville. The Attorney General's Election Fraud Hotline has received 25 complaints from 18 different counties. And that was this morning at 10:30. I haven't even got the latest one on there. Three of those involved Jefferson County. One of the Jefferson County calls were talking about election fraud. Another one was electioneering too close to the polls. And a third one was a campaign violation. This is standard operating procedure in Kentucky, folks. They also have vote buying in Bell, Breathitt, Clay, Lee, Pike, and Wayne counties. And, of course, these are not official. No. These are alleged. Now, the problem is they're always alleged, and then they become official, and nobody can figure out what's going on. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. We have our share of election problems right here. We get a little bit sick of it, to be honest with you. And, you know, this is just one more example. We've already got three today, which is alarming to me. Just in Jefferson County, I imagine that's going to go completely up. Now, to talk about some candidates moving forward, it's very, very clear, I think, at this point, to tell the whole world that Mitch McConnell and Allison Lundigan Grimes will be matched up in November. I think that's a given. What's really interesting to me is how much has been given to Allison Lundigan Grimes, the credibility and media coverage and everything else, trying to prop her up. As we know, she's a very poor candidate. She really is pretty much just an establishment, in my opinion, who follows the establishment status quo, who does exactly what she's told to do. So imagine my surprise when I see an article today and I'm reading this, and I started laughing when I read it. You go to WFPL.org for this one. But Allison Lenigan Grimes is out trying to tell all of these people in Louisville that she's basically nonpartisan, that she's going to protect the state's interest against either political party. Yeah, right. And then she wants to go on and tell everything, or tell the whole world that this woman, well, she's not an empty dress. She's not a cheerleader. She's not a rubber stamp. I'm an independent Kentucky woman that stands on my own two feet. And all I can say to that is bullshit. There is nothing independent about Allison Lundigan Grimes. There is nothing out there that indicates she is anything other than a rubber stamp or an empty dress or a cheerleader. Now, I'm sorry, but let's look at the reality here. The campaign she's run so far has been nothing short of dismal. She hasn't been able to talk in depth about any subject. She refuses to answer any questions. She refuses to engage the general public other than a stump speech that she's had plenty of time to memorize. You know, when she does finally come out for or against something, it's only after her opponent did it a week before. Her presumed opponent is Mitch McConnell. Allison Lundigan Grimes has never went on record with any answer or anything else until a few days or a week after Mitch McConnell has. And miraculously, she usually comes to the same side he did. So she's not doing anything more than polling and playing that kind of garbage before she can make any decision. So it's not her that's making decisions. It's the party itself trying to figure out what's going to make them look better. And I find it interesting that she's already doing this before the primary is even over. You look at this. Of course, one of the problems here, according to WFPL, is that Mitch McConnell groups, have been putting out a narrative. These pro groups, these super PACs and everything else have been putting out a negative that's going to focus on Grimes' relationship with national Democrats, including President Obama and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, both of which are polarizing and unpopular figures in conservative-leaning Kentucky. That's according to Politico. Kentucky is a conservative-leaning state, especially when it comes to the national stage. I'll agree with that. But these ads should be focusing on those type of issues. Whether you like Mitch McConnell's style of advertising or not, and I've always said that I'm not a favorite, Mitch McConnell isn't my favorite guy. I don't like all the negative campaigning and stuff. It has been effective for him, but I'm always looking for something better, But when you get right down to it, Allison Lundigan Grimes was on Barack Obama's side, touting the goodness of Harry Reid and Barack Obama all through the game until it became toxic to do so. Now Barack Obama's favorability rating is down to a dismal 29%. Guess what? Let's jump ship and try to distance yourself. And Mitch McConnell is doing what any politician would or should in that situation. He's making sure she's held accountable to being involved with Barack Obama. So I really have no problem with that. What I really have a problem with is the fact that there is no substance to any of this, that we are already being bombarded with a feel-good piece about Allison Lundigan Grimes and her independence before the primary is even over today. That really shouldn't surprise us much. And, by the way, Matt Bevin was ridiculed for attending a cockfighting rally, of which he should have been. And Allison Lundigan Grimes has already been named in an affidavit as being supportive of cockfighting. So, in an ongoing court case right now, Allison Lundigan Grimes and Greg Stumbo have all been indicated in some way or another as being supportive of cockfighting. So if you're going to have that same standard against a Matt Bevin, then you certainly must feel that same way against other candidates who feel the same as in Allison Lundigan Grimes. And, of course, she denies every bit of that, and we'll see what the truth is later. But it is interesting to see all of that going on. In the meantime, a few updates for you. Mitch McConnell seems to be running away with the U.S. Senate rep vote, 67% now. Matt Bevin is at 30%. and the rest of the candidates combined have roughly 2% of the vote. That's what's about 48% of precincts reporting. The 32nd district for the 32nd state rep Republican primary, 60% in. Phil Moffitt is still leading Shelley May, 54 to 45%. Let's see here. Of course, Allison Grimes is going to win the Democratic thing, clearly. It's 48% reporting there, and she's got 83% of the vote. Ray Pierce has actually got 14% of the vote to 86% for John Yarmuth in the 3rd Congressional District. And let's go here real quick. And Karen Faulkner isn't gaining any ground on Michael Connell at this point. 48% reporting, and it's roughly 55 to 45% there. I want to check out this Metro Council 9th real quick. Folks, stick with me. Looks like it's still a two-man race, Chris Hartley and Bill Hollander. 25% of the vote for Hartley, 22% for Hollander, and 36% of the total precincts reporting in the Metro Council 9th District. I tell you, that really just truly makes it so much harder for me to accept the rules that we have in voting here in Kentucky. Because here you've got a great example. You've got a Metro Council race that 12 to 13 people are in. Let's see here. Yeah, 13 people are running the Metro Council 9th District. And one of these folks are going to win that Metro Council race with probably, from the looks of it, less than 30% of the total votes that were cast. That's not a majority. That's why I continue pushing for so-called runoff elections here in Kentucky. That when you get into these Metro Council races, I think in a lot of cases they should be like some of these judge races and nonpartisan. So when you've got people that are 13 people running in a race, you know, the vote is so diluted, you can have no solidarity there. There's no clear winner. Why are we not doing a runoff election? So we put these elections together. We're going to run on a nonpartisan basis. Of course, we know everybody is partisan. But we put these elections together so they're running on a nonpartisan basis. And you take the top two vote getters, just like you do in a majority of the judge races, and you put them in a general election in November, and whoever wins, wins. That's what we need to have. That's one of the things that drives me completely crazy. And I don't understand why we are so adamant about fighting against that. That really disturbs me a lot. And the Metro Council 1st District, the Democratic primary, we have spoke ad nauseum about this race. We've got who I consider a communist who calls herself progressive, Attica Scott, the current Metro Council woman, who got that job because the former Metro Council woman, Judy Green, was impeached from office. And Judy Green's daughter, Jessica Green, is her opponent in this race. And right now, Jessica Green is leading with 70% reporting. Jessica Green is leading with 54% to 45% over Attica Woodson Scott. And the sad part is, you know, I've had my own run-ins with Jessica Green. I've always said she's a racist. She's proven it to me. But you know what? She's two steps above current Councilwoman Attica Scott. So I really, truly, whether anybody likes Jessica Green or not, I'm not going to hold the daughter responsible for the sins of the mother. I like Jessica Green right now leading Attica Woodson Scott, and I personally hope that that holds. I think it's something that we really need to do to send a message, if you will, to what's really going on here, because I'm sick of people like Attica Woodson Scott sitting out there and saying, don't put jobs in my neighborhood, when the people in your neighborhood in the West End don't have any jobs. She fought the Walmart. She wants to tell them how they're going to run their business, who they're going to hire, and how much to pay them, trying to keep those jobs from coming to a location that desperately needs them. So I like the fact that she's losing, because she's not conducive to having a great business environment that will help her community. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll get our first break out of the way for the night. Yes, this is Ed Springs. You're stuck with me until 8 o'clock, and we'll come back. We'll get into some more. We'll talk to you in a minute.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at ErniesPrintShop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. Ernie'sPrintShop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Folks, remember, for you guys who are new to the show, call-in numbers are 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. And you can join our live chat by signing in using your Facebook or Twitter accounts or anything else. Get jotted in live chat. For you guys that are in the listening queue, as always, we appreciate so many of you. Just make sure you hit the number one on your dial pad if you want to be heard on air. You know, I tell you, that's one of the fascinating things that I really do like is because, you know, when you're doing shows like this and you're doing online radio, for one, your listenership is so vast compared to over-the-air radio. There are so many more people who go to online radio now and listen in. And for the thousands and thousands that listen to this show, you know, we're very blessed. We're very fortunate. But I love, and I tell you, I love having a situation where you can see all these people, you know, that are in the chat, or I'm sorry, in the listening queue, because they call in on their phone numbers and stuff like that, and they stay there, and if they want to talk, they just hit number one. But at least you know, who your audience is. You may not know what their politics are or anything else, but you can visually see, you know, a difference that you're making for somebody. So when I always say that I appreciate you guys more than you know, I really do. Because it just gives us another way to say, okay, you know, we're out there. And I tell you what, I really feel blessed with that. I really do. You know, but to move on, you know, there's so many things to talk about. You know, I talked a minute ago about the need for runoff elections and things like that and the need to, you know, be able to include independents or make these local races nonpartisan races. You know, and there's a big reason why, because we talk about the low voter turnout, especially in primary elections. We talk about this low voter turnout all the time, but, you know, it's one thing to say we had this seriously low voter turnout, but let's look at the big picture here, and let's talk about why the low voter turnout is there. Because here in Kentucky, independents, if you're anything other than a registered Democrat or a registered Republican, you have to file as other when you fill out your voter registration. And as an other, you're not allowed to vote in primaries, period. You get to vote in the general election in November, but you have absolutely no say-so on who those candidates are. So here you have a whole block of voters who are begging and have been begging for the opportunity to be involved in the electoral process that are completely denied because they are not one of the two major party designees on their voter registration. That is a serious concern. So if you want to make the numbers go up and you want to have a larger voter turnout, then quit excluding legitimate voters from the process in primaries. In New Jersey, they have somebody that's actually challenging that mindset. There was a person who filed a lawsuit, complaint that's challenging the constitutionality of New Jersey's primary election system. Why? Because it's set up basically the same way as ours is. But this is the fascinating thing, and this is what I keep trying to make people understand when I tell you that they do everything they can to keep you from voting because they love the low voter turnout. In New Jersey, the New Jersey Attorney General, John J. Hoffman, who is representing the state in this case on behalf of the Secretary of State's office, Secretary of State is Kim Guadagno, and the argument presented to try to get this complaint dismissed is that the Secretary of State argues that U.S. citizens in New Jersey do not have a right to vote in primary elections, but political parties have a right to use taxpayer dollars. Now, I didn't misspeak here, folks. You can go to benswan.com. I did not misspeak here. But the Secretary of State in New Jersey says that U.S. citizens in New Jersey do not have a right to vote in primary elections, but the political parties still have a right to use our taxpayer dollars to fund them. Now, this case should end up at the Supreme Court. You know, and we realize, you know, we don't want to get involved in taking away states' rights, and states should have the right to do their own thing. However, as we've stated so many times on this show, as our independent, libertarian-minded friends continue to come on this show and argue, why should taxpayer funds be used for elections on behalf of the political parties? When you have a primary election, only the Democrats can vote for Democrats. Only the Republicans can vote for Republicans. But we taxpayers have to fund that. The whole block of independents, libertarians, you know, Green Party, all these other parties here in Kentucky and across this nation are taxpaying citizens. They are funding these closed-door political party primary machines. Why should they be forced to pay for an election that they can't partake in? And it's clear that in New Jersey, at least, the Secretary of State agrees with that. I, for one, don't. And it's the same fight we've been fighting in Kentucky. Our good friend Michael Lewis at Independent Kentucky has spent a great deal of time arguing that in Frankfort. His fight was actually the subject of a CNN story just a couple of years ago. And it's a fight that continues going on. Since when did we approve as an electorate this two-party system of government at the exclusion of all its U.S. citizens? Does that disturb anybody? It does me. It does me. And I'll never understand that mindset. Now, why is it important? Well, let's just put it this way. We talked earlier about how we've already got complaints from at least 18 different counties in Kentucky with voter fraud or election fraud and things like that today. And that was at 10:30 this morning, folks. It's got a lot worse throughout the day, and I really haven't had time to go back and verify that, and I apologize for that. But, you know, the reason these things go on is because the two parties get to control the whole process. The reason that a lot of people give up on voting is because they don't feel like they're entitled to be a part of the process. Voting is a constitutional right for each and every American. If the parties want this closed system, let them pay for their own primary. Don't use my money to do it. It's not fair to the electorate. There's a reason we continue paying attention to this kind of stuff. West Virginia has got some problems today as well. West Virginia Republicans are accusing the Democrats of using taxpayer-funded mail to boost their reelection chances to try to avoid the first GOP takeover of the House in more than 80 years. Now, we expect this bickering between the parties, which is one other reason why we need to have a better system, make these people accountable. However, there's a lot of merit to this argument. House Democrats flooded their constituents with more than 64,000 pieces of mail through April the 30th. But they didn't just send it to everybody. The majority of that mail was sent primarily to the party's most active voters. This is what's disturbing. The mass mailings cost between $15,000 through the April 30th of this year. It's about five times more than the usual postage fees last year, and that's because it's an election year, midterm, right? The eight members who spent the most money all face competitive primaries or general elections this year, according to WCHS 8 Eyewitness News. This story came out of the Washington Post, make of it what you will, but a majority of the list, about 95%, went to those Democrats who had voted in three or more of the last four elections. It didn't go to all the Democrats in their district. It went to those who show up to vote. So they're using your taxpayer money from their elected office, which is unethical and illegal, by the way, to target specific groups to help get them reelected. This is how they use our money against us. This is why we can't get away from this two-party mindset, and this is why the majority of people refuse to get involved in the electoral process anymore. We're getting sick of this gamesmanship. However, how do we change it? The only way to change that is to elect new people. So for the 70-plus percent who do not get involved in the process, why not? If you think about it, the 70% plus who do not vote in any election, if they were to get together as one voting group and pick one candidate in each office for each race and vote as a block for this one outside candidate, you would reshape American politics in the next election right away. Think about that. 70-plus percent of the people do not vote. Put them all at a table. Pick one candidate in the Democratic primary, one candidate in the Republican primary, in every single race in your hometown in the very next election, and vote as one organized block for the new Democrat and the new Republican. You would get rid of incumbents overnight, and you would reshape American politics immediately. Think about that. 70% of the people don't vote. 7 out of 10 people will control the entire political structure in America if they would get engaged and just have one common goal in mind: get rid of incumbents. After that, make whatever peace you need to make with whatever party you want to make. Do what you need to do. But put these new people in office. Work towards fair elections to include everybody. 70% plus do not vote in any election. Man, what would happen if you organized that group? That's what we're talking about. West Virginia is a great example of why we need to do that. You know, we've got all of these different scandals and everything else going on around the country. You know, nothing is being done. The White House is riddled with problems. You know, what do we do? What do we do to solve it? When less than a third of this entire country at any given point in time actually vote. We want to gripe about the process, but we don't change the process. We have that power. We, the people, are the power. I don't care what the politicians think. They want to put money in the left pocket and slide it over to the right pocket. That's their business. We can't. If we're not going to stop that, then let's get rid of them. Once we get rid of them and you hit their pockets, then maybe they'll start worrying a little bit about how bad they're hitting ours. Maybe they'll start worrying about making the middle class erode into poverty. Maybe they'll quit trying to make this a two-class system. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Maybe they'll start doing their job and getting the hell out of the way and letting the private marketplace create jobs and stability in communities across this nation. Maybe we'll quit all these illegal trade tariffs, illegal in my opinion, that are giving an unfair advantage to these countries around the world that have totally destroyed manufacturing in America. That's your middle class. But more than 70% of you don't care. You just don't get involved. For those of you who have lost your job, you're sitting there saying, damn, what happened? For those of you who don't want to work, you're sitting there, that's okay, government's paying me. More people are taking than are giving anymore in taxes. We have the choice to make this a better country. But when I'm looking at these kind of results and these kind of voter turnouts, I mean, this will be less than 11%, I'm sure, today, that high. You know, we've got some disturbing situations going on here. And I tell you, I am offended by it. But I understand why people are upset. You know? So let's continue trying to make something happen here. I'm going to try to get some more results for us real quick and see if we got any other updates. The last update I've got is about 20 minutes old. It's the same one. There's nothing any different. Man, they're slow to report tonight. I tell you what, I don't understand why, but that's nothing new. Welcome to Bobby Cole's Lawland. But anyway, so, you know, we've got a lot that we have to consider here. But when we look at places like the Metro Council District 9 race with 13 candidates, and you're telling me that we don't need a nonpartisan, you know, election for Metro Council members and have a runoff, I'm sorry, I disagree. When we continually hear the news griping about the low voter turnout, even though they're part of the reason we have such a low voter turnout, I mean, let's take the Courier-Journal, for example. You know, let's call a spade a spade. We know all you care about is a liberal agenda. We know you're trying to enforce your will on the electorate instead of doing your job as a news team and inform the electorate. We get all of that. But at the end of the day, you know, it's up to us to make that change. When we have a two-party system that refuses to engage anybody outside that two-party system but still feel entitled, and believe me, folks, we often talk about the entitlement mentality in a lot of cases today with those who are taking from the system, like your food stamps, Section 8, and all this other stuff, where generations have done that, generation after generation. But let's be clear here. The two top people in this country that have the highest entitlement mentality, in my opinion anyway, is big corporations like GE, who hide all their profits overseas and take from the government and subsidies. Those big corporations have an entitlement mentality. And no one has a bigger entitlement mentality than an elected politician. Every single damn one of them. Well, I shouldn't say that. There are some good out there. Take somebody like a Senator Rand Paul, who actually gives money back to the Treasury every year because he pays attention to how much is spent in his office and doesn't overspend and waste the money just so he can. The politicians probably have the biggest entitlement mentality overall of anyone in this nation. And we continue electing the same ones. And this is, you know, let me give you a reason why we have to stop that. The Obama administration. Let's look at the scandals of this administration alone. And I'm not going to go crazy on everything, but you get into IRS, Benghazi, Fast and Furious, and a whole host of other things. Then we've got the one that's going on now. Every day there's a new scandal. Let's look at the Veterans Administration and the VA scandal. We had reports that as many as 40 patients died while waiting for care at a Phoenix Veterans Administration facility. These things are disturbing. We're going to interrupt for a second, though, for this guy who just wanted to get on here. Great friend of the show, Mr. Paul Holliger. Stop it. How are you, sir?
Hi, Yek. Listen, you were talking about this current administration being so scandal. What would your estimate be as to the total number of scandals that this administration has had in the plus years that they've been in power?
I wouldn't even begin to guess at that, Paul, to be honest with you. It's always a scandal.
Some time ago, there was a president who was actually driven from the White House There was watch.
I've got to interrupt you for just a second, sir, because you're breaking up a little bit. So if you can move to a different location or something, I just want to make sure you knew that because we're having a problem understanding. So you're saying there's President what now? Hello. Going once. Well, I guess Paul will call back. He just dropped. I guess he'll call back, having a connection issue. But, you know, we've got to talk about all of these things and all of these scandals that are going on. What has happened to the moral compass of America where we let these entitlement lifetime career politicians who don't know the first damn thing about working real jobs decide on their own that they deserve anything and everything that they want at our expense? But it's not just at our expense financially, it's also at our expense in lives lost. The Veterans Administration scandal is yet another one. You know, with 40 people dying waiting for care in Phoenix, Arizona, VA hospital. You know, it's crazy. And, of course, you know, Friday, because the Obama administration is getting all this backlash, if you will, you know, they decided they were going to announce the resignation of the top VA health official. Well, the problem is this guy was resigning anyway. He was set to retire. So they didn't do anything to change the structure. They just took the guy's retirement who was already leaving and decided, well, if he's already leaving, let's say he's the scapegoat. So that leaves us VA Secretary Eric Shinseki. And we'll find out what's going to happen with him. But it's very, very, very strange that these kind of things continue coming up. You know, and one of the hardest things to understand is who, what, where, why. I mean, you can ask the five basic questions, who, what, where, why, and when. And you can throw in six and say, how did this happen? But, you know, we've got to look at all of this stuff. And none of this is ever looked at in any scandal with this presidency. Barack Obama was bred to be the president of the United States with no substance or any character whatsoever. You don't have to agree with me. But I can't see anywhere that there's a moral compass anywhere or any values or integrity whatsoever when your whole administration is laden with all these offenses and has been over and over and over again, when your hand-picked Attorney General Eric Holder refuses to do his job based on race. He shows racial bias and refuses to be an Attorney General who promotes and follows the law. When you see all of these different things, you know, it's not that I'm picking on Barack Obama. I'm just telling you the proof is there that we've got a serious problem with this president. And he cannot explain any of it. Why not? Why not? That's what I want to know. Now, we can say, well, George Bush this and George Bush that. Hey, George Bush had his problems. So did Bill Clinton before him. So did the other Bush. So did Ronald Reagan. So did Jimmy Carter. So did Gerald Ford. And so did Richard Nixon. There's not a president in history who hasn't done something that we won't agree with. But when it's a consistent pattern of behavior for an extended period of time, then we have to admit somewhere along the line that we the people screwed up. And Barack Obama, we bought the hope and change argument. We hoped he would change Washington. He said he was going to. And everything that he promised in his first election and everything he promised in his reelection, he lied about. There's no doubt about that. History proves it to be true. His statements prove it to be true. Where he thought that the president should never wield this kind of executive power through executive ordinances and everything else that he does, executive orders. He's wielding that power. Said he would never do that. George Bush was wrong. You don't have the right to circumvent Congress. What has he done with Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi to circumvent Congress in the last few years? You think those things don't make a difference? Of course they do. Of course they do. Says he's going to have the most transparent administration ever in history. The people have and deserve a right to know. Well, if we have and deserve a right to know, the first thing he did was sign an executive order sealing anything and everything about him or his personal records. We know that he lied a lot about his education. We know that there were lies about his birthplace. Nobody can argue about that. The proof is there. All these different lies about who he is as a person have been proven. Doesn't matter whether you want to believe it. You don't want to believe that somebody was able to do that. You don't want to believe that somebody can actually be a real life today Manchurian candidate. Look it up. But of course they can. Those are the problems that we have created by not getting involved in the process. Can we sit here today as people and argue and moan and groan and whine and complain and blame any elected representative for anything bad that they've done? Oh, you hear the arguments. Well, I didn't vote, so I can complain all I want to. I didn't put that piece of garbage in office. Guess what? Then you just allow somebody else to make your decisions for you. You have no right to complain. Or you can listen to the Democrat. Well, he's a damn Republican. Damn Republicans don't care about nothing. It's all them damn Republicans' fault. I voted Democrat. And it goes the other way, too. The Republicans use the same kind of crap with the Democrats. It's all a blame game. And there's no fix solution. But the real solution is us. The real solution is us, we the people. And I tell you, it's really disturbing to me when we sit and we look and really, truly pay attention to all the things that have gone bad in this country. And when I bring up Barack Obama and I bring up all of the other scandals, if you will, all the way up to and including the current VA scandal, I want to know where we, the American people, decided that these kind of things were okay. When did we do that? I want to know, because I tell you, I remember, a time when we didn't have that thought process, where we actually sat here and believed in morals and values and ethics. I mentioned Richard Milhouse Nixon a minute ago. He resigned from office because he was going to be impeached for Watergate scandal. The Watergate scandal was basically spying on a political foe. That's the bottom line. One thing, spying on a political foe. He resigned in disgrace from office rather than face impeachment. Bill Clinton, he was impeached for lying about getting a blowjob in the Oval Office. Personal sexual encounter that had absolutely nothing to do with we the people. Maybe that's why everybody thinks he's a god now, because everybody blamed the Republicans. All the Republicans did it. And yet here we have some of the most egregious examples of lack of leadership, lack of morals, ethics, values, integrity. O'Connell will probably pull this off as a great showing. I'm not sure what happened here with my sound, folks, but let's try this again. It looks like County Attorney Michael O'Connell is up by 10 points with 65% reporting, and we'll see what happens from there. In the Metro Council First District, this is the game here, and I'm loving every minute of it. Jessica Green with 96% reporting Jessica Green will win this race. She's up 55 to 45% over Attica Woodson Scott. So goodbye, Miss Scott. Nice knowing you. Glad to see you gone. And I'm loving the third race on the Metro Council. Mary Woodridge, of course, is blowing David Whitlock out of the water, 83 to 17%. And in the ninth district, Metro Council, with 86% reporting, Bill Hollander has a comfortable lead over Chris Hartley, 26 to 20%. And it looks like J.P. Davis, you know, he spent a hell of a lot of money trying to buy this race, but it looks like Davis is going to be down. He's only got slightly less than 11% of the vote. So I would probably go on record here and say Hollander has a great shot of holding that, or picking that seat up, I should say. And finally, see what else we've got here. Looks like pretty much your incumbents are going to do a good job maintaining where they've had. You see, folks, I tell you, it's always amazing, but all this is going to be decided by less than 11% of the people, and that is the major problem. That's it for tonight. Tomorrow night, Dale will be here at 7 o'clock. We will talk to you folks then, and we'll go over some more of these results tomorrow night and final thoughts with Dale on that, because I know he'll have a lot to say. And until then, have a great night, folks. We'll see you.